everybody, welcome back to When a Gay Girl Meets a Trans Girl. I'm the gay girl, Holly.
And I am the trans girl, Brooklyn. How are you?
I'm good. We haven't been on for a little bit.
Yeah, we've been pretty busy with the little guy, and I've been planning our little New York trip.
Oh, the baby has been sleep training, and it's been working wonders.
You know, in the beginning, so I guess we should go back to the beginning. He was not sleeping. He was not sleeping at all.
For the last 5.5 months.
And we were just like, what in the world? I had one of my associates that I worked with, they were like, have you heard of sleep training? And I'm like, no. And they're like, yes. They're like, you got to read into it. So I did. And I was telling her about it. And she's like, really? And I think she ended up doing some research on her own. You're reading Dr. Spock, right?
Dr. Spock. Yes, and it's the old book from the 80s. Like, my mom gave it to me. It's actually amazing. It's still pretty...
relevant?
Yeah, and he's so open-minded. Like, he was a man ahead of his time. I'm very happy with... I can definitely tell... I don't know. I kind of feel like the people that read Dr. Spock are naturally going to be the ones that are trying to better themselves anyway. But, I don't know, like, he's brought up a few, like, concerns that I've had, like, will we hurt the baby by me being a gay girl and you being a trans girl? But I was reading earlier today that...
Does he discuss that?
No. He discusses babies growing up in a household that's not, like, the nuclear family. And they said, he says that it's okay. He was like, people turn out okay. Or just as normal. He said that basically kids, while they're growing, if they don't have the opposite or the other gender in their life, they have an imaginary one made up from other people around them. And so they're able to make that figure in their head and still turn out fine, like, comfortable. And he also said that, and get that, this is old. This is pretty old. It's from the 80s.
I think the original book was written in the 60s, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the one I have is from the 80s.
Like, I think it's the same book, they just republish it. So it tells you how old that is.
But they updated a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so he said that, like, little boys, you should... not inhibit what they play with. You should let them, if they want to play with trucks, play with trucks. If they want to play with dolls, let them play with dolls. And he had two different reasonings for this. He was like, one, they'll grow up to be men one day, and those men will be parents. They shouldn't be considered babysitters. They should help do all the same stuff that mothers do. And I was like, oh my god, this guy's ahead of his time. Like, so far ahead of his time.
That's
like,
really cool.
Like, even now we're still trying to fight that. Like, when a guy goes to the store with the kids, people look at him like, oh, he's so great, giving that woman a break from, like, all the kids. But you see a mom with the kids and you're like, eh, you know, that's normal. But he was like, those will be men one day. And then he was like, why not let them play with dolls? He was like, it doesn't hurt their masculinity at all to play with them. All that the child learns is that, he said the father, but it could be the mother too, that the father is insecure with their masculinity.
Yeah.
And they're insecure with their masculinity. They have their own problems. And I was like, that's my... Like, I've always thought that, but, like, for him to say it, I'm like, there you go. And they're like, for little girls, he was like, it is a bit more okay for girls because it's more masculine, unfortunately, but he was like, they should be allowed to play with cars if they want to. He was like, they get to explore their gender identities. It doesn't mean they'll turn out to be monsters or anything. He didn't say monsters, but, like, troubled or have issues.
That's really cool. That really shows that that people, if they're just kind of more open, they can, you know, really understand their children more, and there won't be all that division between them or... you know, people kicking their kids out of their house because they're gay or whatever. That there's people.
I was talking to my friend at work, and she has a son, and he's 11. And she was like, he wanted to play with dolls when he was little, and she was like, I let him. She was like, one, I don't care if he's gay, but two, he's not gay. But two, if he wants to play with dolls, one day he's going to be a parent. And she was like, he can learn with a doll just like a little girl does. And she said that her husband was okay with it too, and her husband's like super manly and everything. And I was all like, that's really good.
My son, Jaden, who you've heard on here, and he's the one that does the night before Christmas. I was going to say the nightmare before Christmas. The night before Christmas on our Christmas episodes. He's the one that reads them. When he was younger, you know, we were walking through a store and a grocery store, and they have a little shopping area, and he saw a doll that looked like a Barbie doll, but it was a Cinderella doll. And he was like, I want that. I want that. And I was like, okay. And so for his birthday, we got that for him. And that was something that I was excited, you know, that my ex-wife at the time wasn't super, like, mean about it. She was okay with it. And I love the fact that, you know, I can get my kids something like that. If that's what he wants, that's what we'll get him.
Yeah. I don't get why people have to have such hang-ups, but it's nice to see more openness coming about and letting your kids explore their identities.
Yeah.
And I mean, toys are supposed to be practiced for growing up, so, like the doll thing. Or girls might want to work on cars one day, so play with the cars.
Yeah. And you know what? I feel like it's always, and I think we've discussed this before.
Oh, and he said that too. He's like, one day your daughter might be needing to change a tire, and she'd play with toy cars.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Good way to look at... No. It's a good way to look at that. I always felt like girls are more allowed to play with boy toys.
Because it's more masculine. Anything more masculine is more okay in a male-dominated country.
That's too bad. That's too bad.
That's why gay guys have so much harder time.
Yeah. So, we're going to go back to the beginning here. We're kind of using this for our own son. Like she was saying, he did not sleep. He woke up every couple hours in the middle of the night. He was...
We're troopers, though. Like, when I read about it in Dr. Spock, he was saying, like, that should go away in, like, the first month. And I was like, oh, no, we did that for, like, 5.5 months.
I know. It was a lot. I still had a problem getting up, but I'm like, ugh, I can't believe he does not sleep. My other kiddos, they slept through the night. And this one's just, like, always wanting attention. So... we're like, we got to do something, and that's kind of where we got to this. And he's sleeping, you know, we've done this for, what, like 4 days now?
Yeah, and he's waking up like twice throughout the night, and he's not eating every 2 hours. He's eating about every 4 hours, which is what he should be doing, 4 to 5 hours. And it's not little amounts, it's bigger amounts. Brooklyn has a little bit of trouble of letting him be.
You know, when you hear him cry, he's just crying and crying. All I hear in my head is, Daddy, Daddy.
But we have to be strong and not do that.
It's hard. It's hard.
It is hard. It's very hard. I wish I could go just mother him with my love. But if you keep doing that, he will end up spoiled and know that he can throw a tantrum and get what he wants.
I know, and we don't want to spoil him in that way. I want to give him everything he needs in life, and then some here and there, but I don't want him feeling like he's better than everyone else, even though he is. I'm kidding. She gave me that look. No, I don't want him feeling like he's better than everyone else. I want him to know that we love him with a passion and we'll do anything for him, but when he needs to work for things, when he needs things, he needs to work for things.
Yeah.
And I don't want him feeling like, you know, that's something we'll just give him throughout the years.
Yeah. And, I mean, we have a baby cam, so even when he's screaming his little heart out in the middle of the night, poor little thing.
Yeah.
We can check on the camera and see that he's okay. So, if you're ever raising a baby and you go through the sleep training, get a camera. It makes it so you don't have to go in there and ruin all the progress. It's like training a dog. One time you do it wrong and you gotta redo all of it for weeks.
Yeah. He had a harder time today with everything. I think he kept wanting to sleep. I don't know if he wasn't feeling the best. He is teething, so that kind of adds to it a little bit. You know, he's constantly, his temperature goes up just a little bit and he's always kind of wanting to chew on things. And we have the little teething gel, and we also have little, we got for Easter, he got
this little carrot. Yeah. And it's like perfect for him.
Yeah, it looks like a little tiny carrot and has these like wide like leaves on either side, and he likes to grab it and like stick in his mouth and chew on it.
Anyway, if you want more baby advice, read Dr. Spock.
Yes, yes.
Well ahead of his time, and definitely helpful to any parent, but definitely us as like a gay couple, it's been comforting to me. There's a little bit of outdated stuff, but it's pretty spot on. Spock on.
Babies are babies, no matter what year they were born. I think they all kind of run the same way in their mind. 1920s, 1950s, 1980s, 2020s. So, moving on. How was your Easter?
It was okay.
She was saying that she didn't want Easter to end, that she was just enjoying the day.
It was a nice day.
We had to have him picking up Easter eggs, and he picked up 3 or 4. We didn't, obviously, he's not going to eat candy, so we didn't need a ton.
I wanted a ton.
You could have had him pick up more. There's more than enough for all of them. And then
I had to eat his candy.
My mom had little stuffed animals, little rabbits and stuff, little bears, little tiny ones, and big enough for a baby, I should say. And she had me hide some, and I was like, I'm going to hide this one for my son. So I had him, picked him up, and walked him over to
this one right here was cheating during the egg hunt.
Me?
She told Jaden and Tatum, she was all like, there's a golden egg in the front if you look up. And I was all like, cheater.
Well, they were running out there and like, ah, looking out in the sky. And I'm like, dude, like, look up in places where you would normally look up at. I just wanted one of them to find one. And I told Tatum that. Jaden, I did not say anything to. And Jaden ran in the front. And he looked around. And Holly was standing there with me. And he runs over and he looks up. And he's like, can someone get that for me? And I hid it up in a light fixture. And Holly was like, did you tell him? I was like, no, I told Tatum.
Cheater.
I didn't even tell him where it was. I just gave him a hint. But it was a fun Easter. I ended up watching kind of a tradition for my family when I was younger. Not so much as I got older, but
and for two of my best friends, apparently.
Yeah, I watched the Ten Commandments from the 1960s, and I like that. I'm not a religious person, I don't think, but I do like that movie, and it's like 4 hours long. So I started at 7 o'clock at night the day before Easter. And I stayed up till like midnight watching it. And I had to stop it briefly. No, I stayed up till about 11. And I had to stop it for like a little while. So when I ended up getting up to the bed, I was like, I'm just going to continue it. So I started and I passed out within a few minutes. So I had to watch the rest of it the next day on Easter. But always a good one to watch. Even if you're not a religious person, that's always a fun one to watch. It kind of makes you think about like people and, you know, who we are, I guess. Some of the bad people in this world, some of the good people, and, you know.
My mom in our Easter baskets would have, like, the candy and everything, and she'd always put, like, a movie in the basket. I don't know how that became a tradition.
Just a DVD, just sitting in it, or did you guys get VHS?
I don't think it was VHS was out when I was really little.
So yeah. It had to have been when you were a little bit.
Yeah.
So it was a DVD.
Yeah.
Mine was always, we always got Cadbury cream eggs. And
that was sometimes.
Well, we got them every year. And I think I told this memory last Easter, but I had a memory where I got up one morning and before everyone else, and I grabbed my Cadbury cream egg and I went into my parents' bedroom, and they had a little box fan on the ground, and they had this shag carpet. This is the 80s. It was a blue shag carpet. And I went and laid on it. It was so comfortable. And I had the fan blowing in my face, and I remember just eating it, and it was the most amazing thing. So euphoric. It was really fun. One of my most favorite memories. And I also have another memory. We got these little Easter egg baskets. They look like eggs, and the top part was clear. And I remember us going out and standing in front of tulips, one of my favorite flowers, by the way. And we used to stand in front of it, and she'd take pictures with all of us. And it was nice. And then I ended up taking a picture with all 5 of my kiddos. In front of the house. Maybe next year with Easter baskets. Any other memories with you?
For Easter?
Yeah.
No, I mean, Easter's never really been a big holiday to me.
It kind of is for me. I was born, not on Easter, but my birthday is the 22nd of April, so it lands on it every, like, 6 years. So there's been a handful of Easters that have been mine on my birthday.
Well, I guess that's what's been going on in our lives.
Yes.
We'll
move on to the topic here.
Yeah, so Brooklyn wanted to discuss bullying.
Bullying in school and maybe in the workplace. My son had a Jaden. He's in the middle school, and this last week he ended up getting bullied because he was carrying a water bottle around that, you know. He just likes to have more water throughout the day, and they kept calling him a baby, and he needed a bottle to carry around, and I know it really hurt him, and I was thinking, you know, I can't imagine, like, I feel bad for him, but I can't imagine, like, how much worse it might be for somebody in the LGBTQ community. And I was never out as trans in school, thankfully. In the 90s, when I was in middle school and high school, up into the early 2000s, you know, it was probably not something as accepted as it is now in the school.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I was reading, well, I mean, it's not funny, but I was reading an update on Next Benedict. First, let me just say what the article is. It's GLAAD, Oklahoma, 2STGNC+ groups respond to Next Benedict's full autopsy report by Jacob Reyes, April 2nd, 2024.
So tell us a little bit about Next Benedict.
All right, so Next Benedict was in high school, and they were trans masculine / non-binary. They were 16 years old, and last month they died. They were attacked 3-1 in a restroom at Owosso High School in Owosso, Oklahoma. And I am partially from Oklahoma, and I don't care for that state at all. Governor Kevin Stitt is still the governor there, and he was Mary Fallon's protege. I won't go into all of that. Anyway.
Anti-trans, anti-gay.
She said a very hateful comment. I actually went and protested against her because I was in the military, and she decided to say that gays were worse than terrorists. I was like, oh my God.
Wow. How did she stay governor?
She was such a coward, she didn't even show up. She was, quote, sick. Like, I went to the Capitol. I was one of the people that went. A whole bunch of people went. Like, I was just enraged. I'm like, I'm sitting here fighting terrorists, and you're going to say something that awful? Oh, my God.
That's horrible. That's like, absolutely horrible.
What an awful thing to say. Anyway, I digress. Oklahoma has a whole bunch of janky laws, as usual. So, they require, and this lawmakers passed in 2022 requiring students only be allowed to use the bathrooms that align with their sex assigned at birth. They banned transgender students from school sports, and they passed a law that banned birth certificate markers different from female or male. They, in 2023 of August, they issued an executive order requiring state agencies to use limited definitions of female and male. The state, now this is the one that is ridiculous and extremely dangerous for the kids. The State Department, in November of 2023, so a few months ago, the State Department of Education passed a rule mandating that all school staff report any student they know or suspect to be queer or trans to that student's parents and or guardians, which it goes on to say, further limits access to having safe conversations about being LGBTQ or 2STGNC. Find out what it means to me, even among friends. school environment.
That's funny.
But imagine how dangerous that is if your parents aren't okay with that. You're putting that child in danger.
You know, I know it's hard enough to be picked on and bullied. You know, then you have your parents where they may not think it's bullying or picking on you, but not supporting you is kind of the same thing as bullying, I think.
Or they might kick you out.
Yeah.
I had a few friends that had to live in their cars in high school because their parents found out.
That's crazy.
Yes. Or they might get beaten to death. Anyway, so this poor kid had some bullies, and, well, let me read what else came out from this. So LGBTQ and 2STGNC and the people from GLAAD are trying to get more answers for why next. Like, why those girls are not getting in trouble for bullying next to the point that they did. Like,
there should be some charges on that.
They ended up dying the next day because supposedly they overdosed on their antidepressants. But this report is saying Oklahoma's supposed leaders must still provide answers to the public about the state-sponsored bullying by legislation, the inadequate response to violence in a school bathroom, and all the failures to keep NEC safe that continue to endanger LGBTQ and 2STGNC plus people in Oklahoma. Sarah Kate Ellis, GLAAD President and CEO, said, GLAAD continues to call for an independent investigation to resolve the systemic failures that led to NEC's death. Our hearts remain with Nexus family, advocates. It went to say, oh, here we go. We continue to grieve and mourn the loss of our community member, Nex Benedict, a transmasculine and non-binary youth of Choctaw descent, whose life was needlessly cut short. The fact remains that Nex was failed by systems, institutions, and people who should have provided love and support to show Nex that his life matters and he was not alone. The Trans Advocacy Coalition of Oklahoma said, and here's some things to think about. A culture of bullying, harassment, discrimination is pervasive in Oklahoma. Yes, it is. And has especially detrimental effects on members of vulnerable communities, including LGBTQ and indigenous youth like NEX. The hostile environment and culture is sanctioned by organizations like Oklahoma Department of Education, refuse to take tangible steps. And the tangible steps, the place that did the autopsy has not been accredited since 2009.
Wow.
Yes. And yeah, the medical examiner's office failed to deliver justice. Because it's ridiculous. Why are these girls not getting charged with some form of murder like a lot of bullies have been, even online?
I mean, it's a hate crime to me. They should be charged with something.
Yeah, I mean, I would go for involuntary manslaughter.
I don't know. It's still the world we live in that LGBTQ people are not as important. And that's very unfortunate.
It's just ridiculous how much Oklahoma is sitting here fighting to protect these bullies instead of this poor kid that was treated horribly because they were born a certain way.
Yeah. I don't know.
They're not sitting here trying to think of, oh, we can do better. We can try to do this. They're not doing any of that. They're trying to just sweep it under the rug.
They're trying to protect them, the girls.
It's ridiculous. And then they even said because Nex was Choctaw, they said that it happened on tribal grounds. So where is the tribal law enforcement, they were saying, too? It was on reservation land. So they don't care to help their own people either?
I don't know.
Like, this poor kid. These poor parents with this poor kid. What were they, 16? 16. Gone.
Not having a life. Not being able to grow up and get married if that's what they chose to do. And I understand. I mean, they're not the only ones that have gone through this. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but in the next, you know, 10 years, we're going to lose so many more people, and there are going to be children involved in that too. Babies that are being born right now that are going to end up ending their life because they have nothing else to look up to. It's a very sad situation. That's why if you have an opportunity, protect those around you. Do your best. Because they need a chance at life, and they need to know that they're loved. And it's not like they didn't feel like that from maybe their guardians, but it's just they might need more. They might need more of a peer solution.
Wow. There's a second article that's just entirely upsetting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to read it right now, but it's response from GLAAD on statement by Tulsa District Attorney on Nex Benedict by Angela DeLara, yeah. March 22nd, 2024. It's a shorter one, but basically the lawyers don't care either, the Tulsa District Attorney.
That's sad. Don't care about their life. I'm going to read to you about something that I have on my side. I don't know if a lot of you have heard it, but there's the Trevor Project. And I would definitely ask that any of you that are involved in maybe bullying or, you know, suicide or anything that you guys are maybe experiencing or you know somebody that's experiencing, you can actually talk to a counselor through the Trevor Project, which is amazing. There's also going to be a hotline, which you can text. And you can just text to someone. And then there's also a phone number you can reach, which is 1-866-488-7386. And this is for anyone in the LGBTQ community. But they can help you. They can be there for you if you need someone to talk to. Going over some of their statistics on the Trevor Project, they talk about a majority of the LGBTQ youth who are enrolled in middle school or high school are being bullied, at least 52% of them. That's, you know, one out of every two people out there. When you talk about the amount of bullying, you have the middle school students that, you know, 65% of them are experiencing some kind of bullying. 52% of them have electronic bullying, and 42% is in-person bullying. And then you go to high school students, which is lower, fortunately, and I think it's just some kind of people are maturing, but you got the anti-bullying at 49%, electronic 39%, and then in-person's 30%. But then when you get up to transgender or non-bullying, like what was their name? Nex. Just like Nex was, that's 61% of any kind of bullying, 50% of electronic, and 39% of in-person bullying. And that's crazy. It's unbelievable. And that's for middle and high school. So it really doesn't change going into high school. It's pretty much the same thing. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. In the summary here, they say lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning students are more than four times as likely to attempt suicide compared to straight and cisgender peers. Negative treatment by others, such as bullying, is a strong and consistent risk factor in youth suicide, and LGBTQ youth experience bullying at a significantly greater rate than a straight and cisgender peer. And a recent study revealed that between 2011 and 2019, an average of 20% of high school students reported in-person bullying and 15% reported electronic bullying with no significant changes over the years. Affirming schools may be protective of suicide risks, not only by providing direct identity support to LGBTQ youth, but also creating an environment where LGBTQ youth are less likely to experience the bullying. And when they use the data from the Trevor Project's 2021 National Survey on the LGBTQ Youth Mental Health, this brief explores bullying among LGBTQ middle and high school students, including how they experience bullying and associated with the suicide risk and LGBTQ affirming schools. And you can download that again at thetrevorproject.org. And I would also ask that if you do have a little bit of money, donate to them. There's actually a button on there. This is something that'll help friends. It'll help your family. It'll help, you know, a person in the school down the street that you don't know, but it helps protect them. And I feel like we need to do anything we can to protect these kids.
Yeah. Why is it called the Trevor Project?
The Trevor Project. When you look on Wikipedia, it says the project was founded in 1998 in West Hollywood, California, by Celeste Lessing. Is that right?
Funny. I looked up a Celeste earlier today at work.
Yeah. Peggy Roschke and Randy Stone, they are the creators of the 1994 Academy Award-winning short film, Trevor, a dramatic comedy about Trevor, a gay 13-year-old boy who, when rejected by friends because of his sexuality, attempts suicide. The film was scheduled on air on HBO in 1998. The filmmakers realized that some of the programmer's young viewers might be facing the same kind of crisis as Trevor, and began to search for support to broadcast something during their broadcast of the airing. They discovered that there was no such helpline that existed, and that's where they decided to come up with the LGBTQ group, the Trevor Project. What do you think?
LGBT is easy as 1, 2, 3, me.
And they grow and grow and grow every year, which is great. I talked about the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386, and the text line is actually not the same number like I originally thought.
What's the text line?
So you text the word start.
Oh, like text message.
Yes, to 678-678. And it's 24 hours, 7 days a week for both texting and for talk. Hmm. It is confidential, it's free, and they're available for you all the time. They also have, which I think is really neat for those of you that maybe are looking into this and you're maybe not wanting other people to know, if you go to the Trevor Project, you can, see if I can get back to it here. If you go to the project, you can click escape 3 times and it will delete that from your history and remove you from the page and take you right back to the main Google page.
Does that work on any page?
Wait. No, it's just that page. And they do that so you have a certain privacy. It's built into the page, which I think is really neat.
Testing. Ooh.
Didn't work, did it?
No.
Anyway, I think we might even add that phone number to the that hotline number to the end of our broadcast each week. I think that'd be a good little addition. But anyway.
Cool. I did it.
You like that? Like how that works?
That's neat.
So, what do we have for gay gaming today?
Does it not show up in my history?
It does not show up in your history.
What? Let me see. Oh, snap. It doesn't.
It completely erases all evidence of you ever going to it.
Fascinating.
Isn't that neat? It's for your protection.
Huh. Yeah. That would have been nice in high school.
Anyway, gay gaming, what you got?
Well, I've been playing a lot of Terraria lately, again, because I could play it on my phone. I've beaten all of them except for the Wall of Flesh. I've tried to get Brooklyn to play with me. She is not as into it as I am.
I am not a big Terraria fan. If I'm going to play a...
Because she's a monster.
Monster hunting game that you build stuff with.
Monster Hunter?
No. Minecraft. You can build castles. You can build all kinds of crazy things. No, you can't. It's not the same way. No, you can't. I wouldn't even come close to it.
Well, I've been playing that. It's fun. I've got some rainbow wallpaper to add to my gayness. I've also been playing Animal Crossing again, and I was playing with my mom the other night. I wonder, like, what the second one not the second, that game's been coming out since I was a kid, but I wonder, like, I actually haven't looked to see if there's any, like, data mining on it or anything yet, but I hope they have the wishing stars. That was magical. Me and my mom stayed up till like 3 a.m. making wishes on the stars. It was so pretty, and we were just like trying to get all the star fragments, and we didn't know you can only get a certain amount, so we were just making all the wishes and enjoying how pretty it was in the game.
What's the limit? I was showing Jaden how to do that, and I couldn't remember what the limit was.
I don't remember the exact number. I'd have to Google it. But I know it's not worth it to do it till 3 a.m. because you can't really get that much. But it's still magical. All right, so I don't think that we've been on since the unfortunate passing of Akira Toriyama. And, well, I've started watching, I was trying to read, but I've started watching Jujutsu Kaisen. And it started out a little slow, but, like, it's kind of picking up. Every now and then it's a little gritty, but it's not, like, super gritty all the time. It's interesting, and so far it's, I don't know if like you'd want your kids watching it, because there's some pretty gory scenes, in like disturbing ways that is more natural. Like, you obviously aren't always going to get like sliced across your arm. Sometimes it might be like part of your cheek gets sliced off. It's a bit more realistic like that. Yeah. The music, I like all the music in the fight scenes. It is like a piano mixed with a upbeat. So, and there's a lot of twists and turns in it, and the action's really good. I'm enjoying it. I'm almost caught up on the anime. I don't know if I'll continue reading the manga. Sometimes I like to read the manga because I like to get a little bit more of the interpretation, and pretty much animes are almost spot on nowadays, but sometimes you get a little bit more in the manga. And then the passing of Akira Toriyama, he was the one that created Dragon Ball Z and other things. He helped animate with like Dragon Quest, which I love Dragon Quest Builders. That's a fun game. It's like a modified Minecraft kind of. But Dragon Ball Z, now Dragon Ball Super, Dragon Ball Z was near and dear to my heart. Dragon Ball was good. It wasn't like my favorite, but we definitely watched it all the time, and my mom liked that one a lot. She'd watch that with us because she said it was more adventure, not as much like painful fighting, and she's right. There's more adventure in that. And then in Dragon Ball Z, my mom always said that we were watching like a soap opera. And how long it's gonna get dragged out, and like, who knew what's happening over here? They're so dramatic. And I was like, oh no, it's not a soap opera, mommy. And as an adult, I kind of can agree that it is a soap opera. But anyway, DBZ has greatly inspired me in my life to protect people and to want to push myself as hard as I can and to be super fit at the gym. So it was definitely sad that he passed.
And you had us watch a movie in his honor, a Dragon Ball movie. Tell us a little bit about that.
We watched the newer Broly movie. I do want to watch Bardock because that one was my favorite. But we watched the new Broly movie, and oh my god, the fight scenes in it. I mean, I'd already seen it, but I rewatched it and I was like, oh my god, the fight scenes, they're so amazing.
Why did you have us watch that since Broly was your favorite?
Bardock,
I'm sorry.
Because the fight scenes were amazing.
I never watched much Dragon Ball. I always knew that it existed. And I know. I was never big into anime. You know, the few animes that I watched some French animes that I really liked, which was back in the 80s. And they redid it here about 10 years ago. They continued it. The Mysterious Cities of Gold, which was a French anime. But I also liked Cardcaptor Sakura and Sakura, some people call it. I guess that's the her real name is Sakura, but they'll call her Sakura in the in the show. But I watched that mainly because it was on when I was a teenager in the 90s. And they made a sequel series that I never knew about, and I still want to watch that. But that was really it. That's all the anime I really got into.
Inuyasha is still a favorite. My favorite. Love that one. I have some Funko Pops of them up on my... Well, I've got a whole bunch of DBZ, but a bunch of Inuyasha too. Models on there. The new Godzilla movie that came out, I learned a fun fact. He's like powering up or going pink or red or whatever. Apparently they got inspiration from Goku going Kaioken or using his Kaioken. And when Goku does that, he kind of flashes red and everything. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. In the Dragon Ball Super, I've been reading the mangas, which are ahead of the anime currently. I guess Akira Toriyama knew that he was going to be passing, and he drew his favorite character was Piccolo. He drew him waving goodbye, and so everybody thinks that he knew that he was going.
That's pretty nice. That's pretty neat.
Yeah. I definitely teared up. And so it's on pause right now while they figure out what they're doing with the series.
Did he actually write the series, or just was the, like, inspiration behind it?
He drew Piccolo saying goodbye.
Wonder if they're going to do something in the series with him.
So, yeah, Akira Toriyama worked very, very closely with Super. He would write major plots and give them to Toyotaro and let Toyotaro use his creativity to kind of knit it together.
That's cool.
Yeah, and Toyotaro was his protege.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's so sad that he's gone. He apparently, at least when I was in high school, he was actually... I don't know if he was a big fan of gays, but I know a lot of Japan is like that still. But I digress.
Digress.
Maybe he's opened up his mind now. I've tried not to read more into it because I don't want to know. Well, that's it for my nerdyisms.
Yeah. It was a good show. A lot of good stuff in it.
Yeah, it was. It was good to be back. Happy post-Easter. Happy post-Trans Visibility Day. Ironically, this film the same 2 days. I forgot about that. Or same day. Anyway, hope everybody's good and has happy lives.
Yeah. And I hope you can hit us up on the next one. And I guess we'll see you then.
Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.
If you or anyone you may know have thoughts of suicide or depression, please call the Trevor Project at 1-866-488-7386 or text START to 678-678.
Thank you for joining us on our show. Don't forget to check out our other shows wherever podcasts are available. And if you're in the position to help our podcast grow, please join us at patreon.com/ggirltgirl. And check out our Facebook and Instagram page for more updates and messages at gaygirl/transgirl. And if you're joining us on YouTube, please hit that like button and subscribe. Thank you.